Philip, we're talking now about the political effects. We'll go down the line of the different categories I was referring to. This is a political year, and the reason that Tagwood talked about the LAPD killing radicals in San Diego, it was so that Nixon could round up his opposition, people that didn't like his policy, the excuse to lock them all up. And they planned to kill certain congressmen and newsmen that would be down there as an excuse for law and order. Now, Hitler needed law and order to come into power. And the political effect of shooting Wallace is, number one, it brings a law and order ticket. People get scared of the violence all around us. We're told it's everywhere. And the next important thing is that all the news people everywhere, I've talked all week, and you've heard it, Phil, on how the death of Wallace would affect Humphrey or McGovern. But it's very interesting that nobody talks about how it would affect Richard Nixon. Because, again, in the political assassination of John Kennedy, the question came up of Sue Bono, who gains by killing John Kennedy? And the important point is that Nixon is the only man, Humphrey and McGovern, don't gain by the killing of Wallace. It would be Nixon. Because I mentioned briefly a few minutes ago that Wallace came out against busing. So Nixon has to come out against busing, even though as the President of the United States, these laws had gone through. Nixon has what he calls a Southern strategy, and that's to pull in the whole South, the hate votes of the Vietnam, the war contracts, the space, aerospace industries to Florida, Georgia, Alabama, California. The warfare state, its financial headquarters are in the South, Texas, Houston, and the aerospace industries, the bulk of it, Ohio and the southern states. This is the bulk of the aerospace and the racist votes. And Nixon needs those. And Mr. Wallace was taking them away from him, even in the North. The night of that shooting, he was taking out 40% of the Republican votes in a 70% Republican area. Wallace got 30% of the votes that night. If Wallace is killed, Nixon gets 70%. He gets all of that because they're not going to give it to McGovern. And if Wallace is dead, Richard Nixon benefits. His vote isn't split. And it's conspicuous how the news people don't analyze that Richard Nixon gains, just like Richard Nixon gains from the death of his old friend J. Edgar Hoover. The White House counsel, the group that sit around him, advised him, get rid of Hoover, he's bad, the name is being smeared, the FBI, the reputation is going down, some of his tactics. And all of his advisors outvoted Nixon, who stayed loyal to his friend. But Hoover was an embarrassment, and besides that, it was time to tighten control on all of these things, on all of the political assassinations and the control of the United States. So Richard Nixon is a direct beneficiary of the Wallace, if Wallace dies.
Okay, if you accept that premise, then what significance do you attach to the fact that Nixon sent one of his personal physicians to aid Wallace's doctors, and that he offered the presidential suite at Walter Reed Hospital to Wallace?
Well,
that the FBI is guarding Wallace.
Well, that's like
guarding Bremer.
Yeah, well, that's like saying, what do you think of the position that the federal government was so nice that they let the autopsy of John Kennedy be at Bethesda, Maryland Hospital instead of Dallas, Texas? The Dallas officials wanted the autopsy there, and it would have read differently if they had the body there. You see, taking control, the federal government taking care of the Wallace party is wiping up the evidence and scooping it all up. To indicate that, in my list of similarities, and this is very interesting, Wednesday I was typing similarities, those 35 that I hope we'll have time to go into, some of them. But when Bremer was in jail, he had head injuries, you see, and he asked for a doctor. And President Nixon, this is President Nixon, gave permission from the White House that he could have a physician, it was specified, if that physician be accompanied by an FBI agent. Now, this is very generous of him, that the man only has some stitches on his head, but an FBI has to get in the room. So under similarities, I made a note, and this is the way it reads, when Sirhan was in jail, he was never alone with a psychiatrist. He had to have Robert Kaiser, who we did it many shows on. He's CIA, he's government employee, who wrote the official history of what happened to the Ambassador Hotel. RFK Must Die. It's a bad book. It's slanted. It leaves out the physical evidence of the murder, the contact Sirhan did. It goes into the thing of mind control, like going to violence to cover story. Robert Kaiser worked for Life and Henry Luce, and then for his background is with Tom Braden and the CIA. Kaiser was sent to the cell of Sirhan Sirhan the night that Robert Kennedy was shot. And he was with him all the time, even in personal relationships with the psychiatrist. He was the court reporter, so to speak. And we've gone into babysitters of Jack Ruby, having Joe Tannehill and Bell Eye. Well, this is the same thing. The sending of the White House aides is more spooky, Phil, than if they just leave Wallace alone. Wallace wants, his doctor wants him in Alabama for the neck surgery. The White House wants him at Walter Reed. I don't, you see, Walter Reed can right. keep...
His doctors want him in
Alabama.
In Alabama.
Yes, that was in the news Friday. His doctors want him in Alabama. But the Washington came into this thing in an almost paranoid stage. And maybe we'll have to do a show in two stages on this because there's so much evidence. And I think it's pertinent.
I didn't know there was that conflict between Wallace's doctors and the White House
as to
the location of the next surgery.
Yeah, if you look at my table of contents here, Section 5 is how the federal government gets into the act. They're into it plenty. You see,
that's pretty obvious from looking at the federal assistance that has been offered since the shooting.
Don't forget that your Monterey Herald this week had an article on the personality of Bremer, Oswald and Sirhan.
I think it's Bremer.
Bremer, I'm sorry. But it said that Oswald and Sirhan were compared to this new alleged assassin, Bremer. And it was the word came out by a psychiatrist often called by the Justice Department. Now, you see, I cross-filed those little words. See, to the average person, that doesn't mean much. But when you know how the Justice Department lied, just plain lied.
Yeah, this is an AP story, and I noted that article also. It also pointed out in the article that this Justice Department, or this person often called by the Justice Department, had never interviewed Oswald or Sirhan personally or Bremer, and he was doing this all from a... almost by remote control, actually. He was analyzing these people.
That's right. Now, he has taken these adjectives, that loner, alienated, acting on impulse. I wrote down the adjective, low level of frustration. They're threatened. They try to change the world. They're separated from their families. They're alienated. They have revenge. The world is full of chaos. They want to cling it up. They want to change the world. Now, every one of those adjectives that he gives, I spent 8 years, Phil, going into those words on Lee Harvey Oswald and who said those words to describe Oswald because the evidence was so different. See, Oswald was not alienated. We talked about how when he arrived in New York City from the Soviet Union, he was met with a limousine. His transportation was paid by the State Department. All legal waivers were passed to let his Russian wife come in. Oswald was treated like a very important person, which he was. And I have the name of the man who met him at the harbor, who's linked with heavy political alliances in this state. Oswald was not alienated, but the Justice Department puts these adjectives out. And I've spent 8 years on Oswald and then the other assassins who originated the original words on Oswald and now is using as a pattern for all these other scenes.
We were talking about Dr. David Abramson.
Yes, right? The New York psychiatrist. Now, Abramson has never met any of the other boys, nor has he spent 8 years finding who said that Oswald acted on impulse. He even contradicts himself here because the news articles this week say that Mr. Bremer went from place to place and stalked him and went to different campaign places in Michigan and Kalamazoo and Maryland and Milwaukee. Well, if he was stalking him, he wasn't acting on impulse. He was down to his last $2 and had two weapons and a radio band. That isn't impulse. See, the psychiatrist, it's a great thing to be able to be on the air here at KLRB, Phil, and talk out some of these things, if we can't cover all of them. I think that the response this week to people wanting to hear about Wallace was so good. And if we just talk to people without any lies, you out there can hear the inconsistencies of one article saying he acts on impulse and the other saying he stalked them.
It might be interesting if people are interested to question the Associated Press and ask whether that particular psychiatrist volunteered the information to AP, or whether AP sought him out.
Or if he went to a medical school paid by the Army. Several psychiatrists that gave information on the political assassination were medical men in the Army who got their further degrees in the Army. And they were paid. Their education was paid by the Army. I'm not saying this is true of Dr. Abramson, but he has to have some reason. He wrote a book called Our Violent Society, and he has not gone into the actual evidence. You see, in the James Ray case, Gerald Frank says that in that new book, that James Ray stalked and followed Martin Luther King with a determination to get him that took a year and a half. well, that isn't acting on impulse. If these are the people you're talking about, the evidence, they throw out one thing and they throw the other, and nothing, nothing they say is true. So just briefly again, the political advantage. You haven't read in the newspapers that Richard Nixon, if Wallace is dead, gets all the Southern votes. They'll go to Richard Nixon, who followed Wallace's busing decision, and all the latent racist hatred that Wallace could pull in, Nixon will inherit if Wallace doesn't run. Now, there was another reason getting Wallace out of the way. Wallace doesn't like Nixon or the establishment either, and he not only didn't like the busing or the integration of the South, but he didn't like Richard Nixon any better. And he was winning votes on that, because there's a lot of people in this country that don't like Richard Nixon. And Wallace didn't like Vietnam. And the important thing is that he does not like the establishment. And he's not their kind of cookie. He wasn't at that ranch at that party when he was alive. He wasn't called down there with John Conley and the gang. You see, they're one party group, you know, Democrat, Republican are melding. But and Wallace is a big figure in this country. He doesn't go to those kind of parties, see? He is something apart and different. And Nixon, and don't ever forget as you read the news, that Nixon gains if Wallace dies. Simple vote counting, Nixon gains. And no one has had the nerve to write that up.
Now, you've made these comparisons between the JFK, RFK, Martin Luther King assassination.
I marked them off. That's right. The comparisons to the cover stories and the way it was handled, I briefly typed them off as I went through my news articles, and then I'll go into greater comparisons later. The first headline was, he was a loner. This happened in all the assassination cover stories, and I have several hundred books of news clippings on the John Kennedy assassination, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, the Sharon Tate, La Bianca massacre, the Oda case in California. What I consider political assassinations, these news articles, I take 8 papers a day. They're scotch tape dated, put in chronological order. The similarities that run through are like this, that this Bremer was a loner. Then they referred to the smirk on his face. This was all the assassins. You know, Robert Kaiser was called in Thursday, and he said, the first thing I noticed was a smirk on his face. They all asked for the Civil Liberties Union. This, again, was a cover. These are agents of intelligence government, but they covered by asking for the Civil Liberties Union. They break down his personality. In this case, they brought in...
Bremer has asked for...
yes, he asked...
ACLU?
Yes. Uh-huh. He asked for ACLU, too. The creation of the modus. In this case, it was movies and comics. They brought in a new thing. The other guys didn't read dirty movies or comics. The others were political in the sense that communist literature was found around their rooms. Sirhan and Oswald, and they were not communists. There were more bullets than the gun allows in all of these murders, in the Sirhan and the Martin Luther King and the Robert Kennedy. The gun only shoots so many, and there were several more bullets in Martin Luther King's body that didn't come from the Lorraine Motel. We'll go into that evidence many times. No other suspects were ever expected. This ran through all of them. The getaway car. There was another getaway car, and they followed it. They had the description of the man, his weight and height. They stopped on a freeway, and they let him go. They had suspects in every one of these murders. They let them go. The story about that they don't get along with their mothers. They said James Ray was an orphan. His parent was alive. Oswald didn't get along with his mother. This boy, he shut the door in her face. It's like Camus' story, The Stranger. Wallace was at the peak of his political career, and even for primary, like Robert Kennedy. John Kennedy was beginning to get things into effect. He'd been in office. He was getting ready for the election in 64, and this was at the peak of 2 primaries. The CBS was on the spot, and they filmed a man, and they have a picture. This is, again, your cover story, and they had a whole page in the Chronicle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had him lined up, the shots, like, here he is, here's the man aiming, here he's shooting, here's Wallace falling, here's Wallace's wife holding him, you know, like Jackie Kennedy, and here's Wallace on the ground. Now, CBS took a picture of that, and they say this is how it happened. They took a picture of Aldemont at the time of the Rolling Stones concert. The camera aimed at Jack Ruby shooting Oswald. There were pictures of the ambassador, of Sirhan and Robert Kennedy. That does not prove there was no conspiracy. In every one of these cases, there was a conspiracy, and there were more gunmen. The fact that the camera takes a picture, and like a primer, like see Jane run, see Ted go, they give you a primer in your newspaper, 1 to 6. This is how it happened. One man. The newsreel, if you saw it the first day in the crowd, there was a man next to this Brammer who was smiling over at him and kind of laughing and nodding to him just before when his face was in the crowd. They were looking at each other. But they give you this is the way it happened, A, B, C, D. Now, another man gets on, a Democrat from Congress, a Democratic candidate, and he says, I think this will help. Oh, he was the one man, I did make note, who will help Richard Nixon and Humphrey. This shooting will hurt McGovern, and it'll help Humphrey. His name is William Hugel, a candidate for Congress. This was the one man who noted what I was saying. A state Republican chairman named Putnam Overmore came out with the identical words that were used as a cover story, and I repeat them. This was caused by another mindless malcontent. A Mr. Lovermore, the identical name, was placed on an important committee, Republican committee, this week with Shirley Temple Black. I'd never heard the name before. But Mr. Lovermore came out. I don't know if it's the same Lovermore, but it's an unusual name. He was appointed to a high position by Nixon this week and called it mindless malcontent is another cover word they use. Another similarity is that before 24 hours were over, only one person was involved. This was true in all the crimes. The Secret Service came out the very next day and said the possibility of a conspiracy has been ruled out. This is identical to the Oblonsky killing. The political labor leaders, the musicians, they haven't even talked about much as a conspiracy. We'll stick to the major political murders. The possibility has been ruled out. How can it be ruled out? He may have shot for money. He may have been hired to kill because he stood there and shot. If you think it out clearly, and I want to say this very clearly, if they say the possibility of conspiracy is ruled out, just because one man stood there and shot the biggest competition that Richard Nixon had in this country at the present time doesn't mean that he wasn't paid to do it. You see, his past, the secret of his past, is something that you're not allowed to know yet. Now, the Maryland State Police Superintendent, Thomas Smith, said it was a .38 five-shot revolver. There are .38 six-shots, but the state police superintendent said it was a five-shot revolver. Now, I don't know why he would say that. And again, all the other suspects were let go. A man 6 feet, 2 inches, 225 pounds, driving a blue Cadillac, was wanted as a suspect. And he was on the Baltimore Beltway. They let him go. They don't tell you why they were looking for him or what this description was.
Now the story that came out that afternoon was that they had been mistaken, that this car had been wanted on a license plate switching offense, and that the bulletin they issued was a coincidence, and that they hadn't meant to tie it in with the Wallace shooting. That they had been looking for this car on this license plate switching.
This is one of the coincidences.
Right, and somebody, they said, picked it up and took it to mean that they were looking for this car in connection with the Wallace shooting, which they later denied.
Well, that's like the band on the police station, radio station, with the exact description of Lee Harvey Oswald before they had any indication of what he would look like. You know, these are all coincidences, too. They couldn't trace who gave the description, but they had the description. And they also did say early that they had some other suspects. And then they let them go. Now, another similarity to all the political assassinations, which we touched on, is trying to blame hate and violence. This runs through the whole thing. That's the cover story. And blind violence. They try to say it's blind. It's violence in American society, which is one thing. And then they call it the blind violence. Now, this particular boy, when he was arrested, wanted to talk to his lawyer. He wouldn't speak up. He knew his legal rights. And he's perfectly aware of all of the intricacies involved, and so was Oswald, Sirhan, James Ray. They know exactly what to do in the event that they're caught. the creation of the motive goes into about 15 descriptions, and all of them are wrong. This runs through the whole thing. The mention of the gun purchase. Now, this is important in breaking down the similarities. In every one of these political assassinations, there's a lot of talk about a gun purchase. And in all of the articles, there's no indication of where the bullets are found or how the bullets are recovered or if the bullets match the weapon that was purchased. Every boy has a gun located right away. Like the gun that James Ray had, you know, where it was bought in Birmingham, or the gun that Oswald had from Klein's in Chicago, and Sirhan's gun. It was, they traced the gun, but the bullet found in the victim does not match the gun in most of these cases, and the amount of bullets in the victims or in the vicinity of the people standing the ambassador in this place in Maryland cannot equal the gun's capability. And that's where the conspiracy comes in. When you stick to the evidence of the case, and I want to make this perfectly clear, when you stick to the amount of bullets shot and the capability of the weapon, and this is the part that people don't read because it doesn't get the play up in the news. There's nothing in the news from since Monday about where the bullets were recovered. You see, one man...
Or how many were recovered.
That's right. Now, we have a diagram of the body of under the wounds. I have a diagram that was published from the doctor, like we had a diagram of John Kennedy's body, and the bullets don't match where Oswald was standing, the bullet direction. There was a picture in the Chronicle of the wounds, one over in his chest and lung, and the one in the spinal cord, and one on the right arm above, by the shoulder, in the middle of the arm, and then down below. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 bullets in Governor Wallace's body, but they're all lower than the chest cavity. They're right to the chest cavity.
5 bullets in his body or 5 bullets, 5 wounds?
5 wounds. But the Secret Service man that had surgery at the hospital, Walter Reed Hospital, had 6-hour surgery in a throat. Now that's higher than any wound in the governor. And the two people that were also shot, there has been no description of the location of where their wounds were. They had to be directly behind him, and the bullets had to go through him to them in some way. One of the men was wounded in the leg, which is lower than the Wallace body chart. You follow? And one was in the throat. So one is higher than Wallace, and one is lower than where Wallace was shot.
What's possible to ricochet or something?
Well, it would be interesting if instead of talking about violence and instead of talking about loners or alienation, it would be interesting if they would stick to the bullets or the location of the bullets. I think that it's important to stick with the evidence of the case and not the cover story. And the less you read in the news on the actual evidence and the more you read the cover story like gun laws and violence, the more you have to look for the information on the evidence, because that's where the real truth is. If it was a political assassination, and you also, besides that, have to look in the background of this particular person. You see, today, Friday's paper had an article on, it's on Wallace suspect at the end of his rope, and it was on page 24. It wasn't in the front pages. And I'm just going into this to show you how to study whether it was a conspiracy or just plain nut shooting. The title's called Wallace Suspect at the End of the Rope, and you think that you're going to find that he's really having a nervous breakdown, that he's a lone misfit, and he's going to crack up. It doesn't make page one, and it tells you that he only had $2, that he was tired and hungry, and had slept in his car following this man around for 2 weeks. But at the end, it said, on the floor behind the front seat, covered with a hand towel, the agents found a Westinghouse tape recorder, a portable radio equipped with special band to pick up police broadcasts, a pair of powerful binoculars, and 3 clips for an automatic pistol. That was in his car. Now, that doesn't make the headlines. You see, this is physical evidence. In Oswald's garage were all the pieces of equipment of an agent of some sort, electronic devices, pedometers, telescopes, knives, radio band. Again, he had photographs, several kinds of cameras. There was all kinds of equipment, electronic equipment, in his garage that was described and inventoried in the Warren Commission hearings and exhibits. But the witness testimony doesn't talk about where he learned to use this stuff or where he purchased it or what he'd be using it for. See, that's the witnesses that are called never talk about who sold him this tape recorder. Who has fingerprints? If there's another gun that they found in the back of his car, does it have fingerprints on it? You see, that is where the evidence comes in. And when this stuff comes through the news, this came from the New York Times service. This doesn't come from the Associated Press or the United Press. And you learn to read the news when evidence comes in that's important to solving the mystery of the case. It doesn't come over the Associated Press or United Press all the time. See, it's a complicated procedure to pass off a conspiracy as being a loner. You have your cover story. You have your public officials assuring you immediately that before they could possibly go into whether he was put up to this, you know, there's no way of their knowing. But they want you to know that nothing is wrong in the land. So that by Friday, after the shooting of Wallace, you find out that there was another weapon involved, that it was a brown 9mm automatic pistol equipped with a wooden stock and a clip of ammunition that was in the car. There was another weapon involved in that car. There was a radio. There were radio bands confused in the getaway car of at the time of the Martin Luther King killing, you know, coming in along with the radio stations. This boy had the radio, tape recorders, binoculars, another weapon and ammunition.
Now, the fact that this equipment was found in his car, what does that tell you?
Well, what it tells me is that it took 6 days to admit the equipment was there. It got the 24th page of the newspaper, and the title article is to make you think the boy's cracking because he's mentally sick. I think the boy knows how to use his equipment, and I think he could be a trained, hired person to kill Wallace at the time of an election year. That's what it tells me, that the hard evidence that will come in won't make the headlines, and it won't make Associated Press, and it won't make United Press. But the equipment of a boy smarter than you think, they're not telling you about. Now, when they do a cover story again, they say the man, Bremer, Arthur Bremer, who was arraigned, was a busboy and a waiter. They don't tell you the club that he worked at in Milwaukee or who he saw there. The man who was in charge of the entertainment at this club, which was a racist or a segregated private social club where he was a waiter, tells you that this young Bremer was a paranoid. The psychiatrist says he's just dull normal, but the man in contact with him at an exclusive club at Milwaukee is giving the story that he's paranoid. Again, he's not a psychiatrist. I'm jumping around on the truth of what a person is and the way the media makes it out. Like the media says he's at the end of his rope. They're actually talking about evidence in the last paragraph hidden in the news. So if you don't take the paper and you don't take the New York Times, you're going to miss this. Again, they sent in Robert Kaiser, who will say, I want to compare him to all the other assassins, and maybe Kaiser will write the official story of how Wallace was killed, and everything will be hidden instead of told because no other writer or researcher will get to him. Now, in the room of Bremer, when they went into his rooming house, they found a Black Panther paper. No blacks were involved in this murder. Panthers weren't involved. When the Sharon Tate massacre happened, they took the blood of these people and wrote on the door, death to the pigs. Later, it was admitted that they wanted people to think it was a race war, that blacks were involved. They threw in this little Panther paper to confuse you and to confuse what was happening. In summary, now, we just have about 2 or 3 minutes left, and there's no time to go in all the similarities. We may, if there's enough interest, we'll do a continuation next week on this particular case. But in the interim of this week, save your newspapers. You people who are listening, if you take one paper or two or three, save your papers on the Wallace story. And whenever somebody from the justice or the federal government comes into the thing, make a note of it, what role they have and what they're saying, and just save it a while, like I did the John Kenney things. And remember that as of this day, as of this Saturday, there has not been any mention yet into what position these people were standing that received bullet wounds in addition to Wallace. You see, that is important. And they don't mention what kind of ammunition was used. The bullets that were recovered, they've never mentioned what kind of ammunition was used. There's still a bullet in Wallace's body. They never mention where the ammunition was bought, or what kind of bullets, or how many bullets. The news media talks about the loner, the misfit, the paranoid. They don't talk about how many bullets are received. Now, maybe the hospital in Washington wants that body, so when they remove the bullet from the spine, they'll pull something like they did at Parkland Hospital with bullet 399, the famous bullet that we've talked about on other shows. Watch the evidence in the next week. You have all the rumors this week of the loner and chaos and changing society. It's interesting that Oswald, in a press conference, said, "I'm a patsy. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't have a rifle." And then he was killed 2 days later. And Sirhan's mother has said, Sirhan's isolated, she said, if the truth was told about that murder, it would shake the entire nation when the truth is really told. And James Ray, who says there's a conspiracy, is isolated from the press, from people, researchers. We can never get to the political conspirators, the patsies, or the people involved in the murders. And the isolation of Bremer will be just as tight. These are some of the reasons why I think it was a conspiracy, Phil. Does that make sense?
Makes you wonder. Well, once again,
these are some of the reasons why I think you should look for a conspiracy of Richard Nixon and the FBI and the CIA to kill Wallace so he will not compete and take those votes from Nixon that Nixon needs in the South to remain president of the United States.
I'm sure people will be looking at the news in the next 7 days in an entirely different light.
I hope so.
That's Mae Brussel, a political research specialist for KLRB. I'm Phil Kogan.
Presentation of the Public Affairs and Special Events Department of KLRB News.